I'm suiting up!
Welcome to Doctor 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Nikolaios and Mage of Death. So let's just go ahead and jump into last week's poll question. Mage?
Yes, sure. The poll question for last week, now that we're nearly 2 weeks in, now 3 weeks in, of course, since the nerfs to Shaman, we want to know, how are you feeling about the meta since the balance changes? We had 20 votes, so fair number, but always could use more responses. 30% said it's great. 45%, so almost half, said it's good. 5% said it's not good, and 20% said bad. So if you're a glass half full, that's 75% saying that it's at least good, but and only 25% not feeling as good about it. But there's definitely some room probably for some improvement there. And that might be where we got the thing we're going to talk about during the news segment.
Yep. All right. So speaking of news, we'll move on. So first off, we have Hearthstone eSport changes coming in 2020. So first note, we have 6 Master Tour stops instead of 3, with ESL and DreamHack putting on the events for Hearthstone Masters. Round of crowdfunding will take place to increase the prize pools for these, and change the format in relegation to in Grandmasters, which is, I haven't read what they are, but I feel like relegation was a little harsh in Grandmasters, but
So they're doing like 2 seasons now, one in April, one in August, and they talked about the format of how that would work, and they're actually going to relegate 3 Grandmasters this time instead of just 1. So
so it got harsher.
It got a bit harsher. So you have to do a little bit better than just not be last, I think was what it was before.
Yeah, last place got relegated, so yeah. I don't think that was a good look for the competitive scene overall, but, you know, here we are.
Yeah, not a ton of changes as far as, like, trying to get into it. So I think the biggest thing is more Masters Tour spots, more qualifying that's going to occur. So, like, if you're into that and want to pursue kind of competitive Hearthstone, there is going to be at least some more opportunities for tour stops for you this year, which is nice because that to me was the best part of esports in 2019 was the Masters Tour stops.
Yeah, I was, and going back to 2018, I was really, really loved seeing the HCT tour stops. I preferred the HCT system to the Grandmasters personally. I feel like it rewarded a lot of different things in competitive play, so not just, hey, you made the Grandmasters, congratulations, you just have to do decent and you're in forever. But anyways, so next we have Ixar. He tweeted out a player distribution by rank chart for November 2019. Previous info shared from 2014. And he posted this on January 3rd. I will put the link to this in the description for the podcast. So we have 0.3% of players hit Legend. 6% lies between ranks 1 and 5. 12% between ranks 10 and 5. 19% between 15 and 10. And then the rest, the other 63%, lie between 25 and 15. I guess there's probably a few percentages above that, but yep. So this is data displays the highest attained rank during the season must have played one game to be counted. So basically anyone who played in November, that's the distribution of the ranks and how many players in the game's ranks hit what level. So it's kind of where...
Yeah, so it's interesting because like the numbers before were from 2014. Before there was like only 2% of players would get between rank 5 and Legend, mm-hmm. versus now 5.5% between 10 and 5, and now it's up to 12%. He posited, and I think I would agree that the ranked floors are probably helping that.
Oh yeah,
percentages move up a little bit, but it still, I think, proves that, you know, it's not just getting legend. It is, you're in an upper, a fairly good player if you can get to rank 5. Even rank 10 is going to put you in the top 20%.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it's the ranked legend, or it's the ranked ladder floors, and then the fallback, you know, automatically fall back to rank, what was it, 20?
Yeah, it was, you were 20 going all the way back, yeah, with bonus stars.
Yeah, for how far you got. And then, like, the when you hit legend, you start out, what, like 16 with 4 stars, or like 1 star away from being 15?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Anyways, that was a long time ago. That was February 2018, was the last month of regular ladder grinding. So, and then next up we have another Ixar tweet.
Big news.
Yeah, the big one. And this happened on January 4th. Planning another balance patch. We'll share some more information next week as we solidify. Some of the Galchron decks are just a touch more powerful. Just a touch. Then they need to be successful. Also, contemplating light changes to non-Galchron archetypes, including Pirate Warrior and Deathrattle Rogue. So, can we agree? Understatement of the millennium.
I mean, of the decade, since that early.
It's easy to make an understatement of the decade 4 days into the decade, so.
I'm going to grab this low-hanging fruit, so don't mind me.
Yeah. Please do.
You start by win rate on HS replay from 5 to legend over the last week. So since we're recording on the 7th, so it's basically since January 1st. And the first page is 18 decks, and literally 2 of them, both Hunter decks, only 2 of the 18 decks are not Galakrond decks. So,
fucking
pretty, Zoo Warlock, you got Galakrond Shaman, you've got Galakrond Deathrattle Rogue, you've got Galakrond Warrior, you've got, you know, just variations on those.
Is Pirate Warrior in there?
I get 3. I missed Face Hunter in addition to, there's a Quest Hunter and a Secret Highlander Hunter. So Hunter's figured out a way to survive a little bit, but they're it. And then, the second page is kind of more of the same. You see a Handlock in there. You see a Highlander Mage start to show up, but now you're getting, but it's still, it's crazy. We talked about it last week. It's Galakrond is, if you're going to play and you want to do well, you should be playing Galakrond decks right now. So
yeah,
it seems a bit, a touch more powerful makes you kind of just want to facepalm a little bit when you see the wording.
As Nikolai has pointed out before the show started, I wonder if they had any inclination that making a very powerful hero card that costs 7, that has a really strong hero power, could have any possible negative effects on the meta. I mean, it's not like they've made a hero card that costs 7 before that has had some negative effects on the meta.
Maybe they just can't figure out how to balance a 7 mana hero card. Maybe that's all it is.
No, because
Hagatha's good. Hagatha's okay. Zul'jin is good, you know.
I think the problem is that they didn't give everyone a hero card. Just, that is the major problem in my eyes, is the fact that not everyone got a hero card. Like, you gave half of the meta a hero card, a very strong hero card, minus Priest. So,
caveat be here.
I mean,
but the other guys got side quests.
Crickets.
Let's not get into that again.
Yeah, we're not. We don't need to.
Yes, let's not rehash that.
we're not going to rehash side quests, but yes, they're terrible. We all know it. And it's just, I don't understand how they weren't looking at Galakrond the entire time. Because it's like, oh, Shaman was stupid busted before. Let's fix Shaman. And then it turns out it's not just Shaman, it's Galakrond. Galakrond's a problem. And when you give half the deck's hero cards, suddenly that's all you're going to see, because hero cards are super, super powerful. They always have very powerful battle cries, and you're giving out a free 5/2 weapon to a value that's very easy to meet. So,
I mean, like, so they gave every single person access to every single Galakrond. They just, they handed them out. So they increased the level of accessibility to these, like, immensely. Plus, they gave you those two Shield of Galakrond, or whatever it's called, the five mana guys. And the other guys that you gotta get are, like, all of them common or rare. So it's extremely easy to just throw them all together and, hey, you got a deck. You know, the only expensive card in this whole thing is Kronks.
Yeah.
So you basically gotta craft yourself one legendary in order to start playing a Galakrond deck. And this was the focus. Like, this was the big card of the entire expansion. Mm-hmm. Not only did they hyper mess up with Shaman, they also just messed up in general.
Yes. Oh, 100%. I mean, I don't understand how they have the to make a decision, and I'm gonna just rant for just a second, then I'll try back, you know, to get back to positive. But I don't understand how you can look at the Priest Galakrond and think that was anywhere remotely in the same ballpark as the other four. Like, get a random priest minion. Wow, that sounds great. I've always liked random priest minions. Said no one ever.
You don't like your quartz elementals?
You mean that thing that if it takes one damage can't attack?
But you've got a healing hero power, so it should not be able to attack.
Not when you're Galakrond. See my point? Yeah, it's just like
I was playing your straight man there.
Yeah,
sir.
I know. And it's just like all these. There's a lot of cards of the priest hero cards or minions that synergize with the healing ability. Galakrond takes that away. So, like, it seems very counterintuitive to what priest wants to do anyways, and it works against their hero power to begin with. So, anyways, that's, you know, I just don't get that one. And then you look at side quests and be like, that's an adequate trade. You get hero cards, you get side quests. Like, mage, priest, like, if... The thing that throws me off, too, is, like, Dragon Queen. Why is she not a... Go back to, like, Mean Streets of Gazistan. Give it only to... Make it a common card, bone only the hunter, mage, druid, and
paladin
have access to it. Sounds good to me. I mean, you have to restrict it. It's just, it doesn't, it's not fair to have that card accessible across the board. It's just not. It's Warlock has way too, he gets Galakrond and it gets Dragon Queen Alexstrasza and Zephyrus. It's just, it's nutso, and I'm just confused.
I just don't understand, one, why the dragons cost zero. Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting two of them and both of them are costing zero, and that just seems absolutely insane. And then on top of that, it can also discover itself, so you can literally, if you're lucky, like, chain two or three of these bad guys together, and that just,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's the fact that, like, literally in the last balance patch, they nerfed Glinda Crowskin so you couldn't have zero cost snip snaps in wild. Turns out that zero cost things are not good for the game. Zero cost, a lot of zero cost, like heavy swing minions. It's supposed to be a deck building restriction, and it's not. And it's a win condition. So, like, can you draw through your deck in a reasonable manner? Yep, Dragon Queen Alexstrasza is your win condition. On top of whatever else you're doing, you're going to be aggressive because you're going to be Galakrond. You're going to get 10 face damage for free for doing the things you already wanted to do. So, anyways, I'm confused as to the state of the meta right now, and I'm looking forward to seeing what these changes are. And hopefully, I feel like this is not a scenario where cost changes are the only thing that need to happen here. I mean, I could see Galakrond's going up to cost 9. I'm not sure if that's playable at that point in time. I feel like it still kind of is, but that's looking at it right now, and I'm fully admitting that I don't know. I mean, Dr. Boom is a lot less playable at 9 than he is at 7. So,
well, do we want to transition into it, discussing the potential changes to Galakrond and just the nerfs in general? I would say.
Yeah. So the first one is Galakrond, and that's my thought. I figure they'll make him cost 9. Honestly, I'd be fine with him leaving at 7, leaving the hero power, leaving invoke all the same, take away the weapon. Like, you get something stupid powerful in the form of either 4 demons, you get the 4 minions from your deck, give them +3/+3, you get +4/+4, or you could go with the draw 4 cards and they cost 0. Anyways, you know, name all the Galakrond battle cries, and that, I think that's fine, and then you don't get a weapon. I feel like that's fine, because that's 20 jam, that's 20 damage for Shaman, that's, you know, 16 damage for Warrior, because they're going to invoke to swing in, if not multiple invokes, so it could be potentially more than that. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I feel like the hero powers and the abilities are good enough on their own that the claw is just pushing it way too far over the edge. So that's what I would like to see. I'd like to see take away the claw and start with that. But I assume it's just going to go to cost 9 just because of their design philosophy, which it is what it is. That's how they like to change things. They like to change mana cost first. So what do you guys think?
What I think will happen is they'll just bump him to 9 because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we just saw the player base, most people are less than 15. So making complex changes is I hate to shit on people who are, you know, low rank, but a lot of people are probably casual and they mm-hmm. play this game like a couple times a month, and making complex changes probably just confuse them, and mm-hmm. you know, so it kind of just stuck with the obvious. If we were going to do a complex change, I would say that every level up that you invoke, it costs 1 more mana. I think that would be cool.
Okay.
You know, so, like, if you have to play it, like, just normally, then you jam it for 7 and you feel bad. But if you're able to level it up just once, then you get to play it for 8. And if you fully upgraded it, then it's 9. I think that'd be interesting. I think it would also be appropriate if they get rid of the weapon, because mm-hmm. that's just a lot of damage, especially for Shaman when they have Shadowwalk replaying everything. It's just kind of disgusting, but I think they'll just change the mana cost.
And Mage, what is your insight
into? So I don't disagree that the mana cost is probably the route that's going to occur. I actually would like to see a nerf to the claw, not to have it completely removed, but maybe make it a fiery war axe instead.
So like a 3/2,
doing a 3/2 instead of 5, because I think that 4 additional damage is actually pretty huge. It suddenly doesn't make it able to kill a shield of Galakrond, some of those sorts of things. So I think it's a bonus, which is what I think the weapon is supposed to be, without it being just like completely overpowered, which is kind of where I feel like it is now. I think as far as like more elegant changes, as I would look at small changes that you could make to the actual card text that wouldn't necessarily be confusing. And what I mean by that is smaller rushers if they're shaman. You know, we talked about this during the first round of shaman changes, right? Instead of 8/8s, maybe they're 6/6s or something like that. For rogue, I would make it so those cards don't cost 0 when you get them. I would make them cost at least 1. Mm-hmm. And because I mean, drawing a card is just drawing the card, getting it back into your hand is worth something and has costed mana for all time. And so getting it, you know, paying for it and having it or not having to pay for it just by playing the hero card and having it cost 0 just seems crazy to me, because you even have right now Togwaggle's wand, which means you're paying 3 mana to get that discount and draw those cards.
Well, that's 10 mana, because you have to play Togwaggle, and 3 mana.
Right. I'm just saying, at the very least, if you're looking at the direct thing that you had to do in order to do that. For Warrior, I think probably the actual hero power, the 3 damage or 3 attack that you get could be toned down maybe to 2 instead of 3, which would make it a bit more, you know, those are simple enough changes just in numbers that you can easily change to display.
Yeah,
that I don't think are things that should be dismissed. Though I, you know, obviously changing something like that versus just changing a mana cost, I think is probably a bit more requires a bit more testing, I think, as far as to making sure you get it right. But those would be the kind of things for. I don't specifically have a suggestion for Priest or for Warlock. You know, I feel like they're less on that same power level, though I do kind of feel like maybe this is something that you should just, if it's a mana change, it's going to be a mana change, I think, across the board.
Yeah, for sure.
As opposed to just some Galakrons and not others. But I really hope that they look at specifically the claw, and I would love to see more elegant kind of nuanced changes to the specific egregiously overpowered Galakrond cards.
So
Priest cannot get a break.
Yeah,
seriously.
No, they can't. So here's my question: how do we feel about the Shield of Galakrond and the 4 mana 2/2 rusher? I always forget his name.
The maniac.
The devoted maniac.
Yeah.
I rated the maniac like the worst invoke possible. Like, I think I had him at 1 star. Honestly, most of the time it's been pretty meh. Like, only reason why I'm really playing him is because he is a neutral invoke and you kind of need to play all of them. I guess he's not the absolute worst. Awaken is pretty bad, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's been okay. So it doesn't really do very much, but it's been okay. And then the shield is pretty decent.
So when it comes down to it, we wouldn't really touch the two neutral invokes.
I don't think so. I think that they're...
I think they're doing what they're intended to do, which is kind of help you fill out that invoke, making sure you have enough invokes. I don't think that they feel overpowered in their current state. The shield specifically kind of also fits the niche of the mid-game taunt that they want to create board tension. And the fact that it's neutral and all of the Galakrons can use it, I think.
So let's go down through the classes. I don't have them written down, so we're just going the order off the top of my head. But let's take a look at the... let's just talk briefly if there's anything that sticks out as too powerful. So let's start with Shaman. The invokes in Shaman. You have, obviously, Corrupted Elementalist, which has already been nerfed down to 6 mana. Elemental Evocation is our
Invocation of Frost.
Honestly, I think that the Shaman Galakrond stuff is mostly fine. It's the fact that it comes back again with Shadow Walk that's the real, like, if you're playing like just say like Res Priest or something, you have to have removal for their Dragon's Packs and their, you know, whatever minions they throw out during the mid game. Then you have to have removal for their first Galakrond, and you have to have removal for their second Galakrond. And on top of all of that, you have to deal with like the 20 face damage coming with the claw. So it's a lot.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it's the claw is the problem. I mean, I think a lot of the problem is the claw. I mean, because like decks like Resurrect Priest can kind of come up with ways to deal with the 8/8s. It's generally the claw that's the problem. So, and the fact that you can get it back a second time, there's ways to pull back the 5/2 weapon, which is, I mean, I'm trying to, the only weapon I can think of off the top of my head with a higher attack is
Gorehowl.
Yeah, Gorehowl. So, and that one's meant to control the board, not do 7 damage phase. So
Invocation of Frost is strong, but it's not backbreaking. Elementalist was pretty backbreaking, and they've already nerfed it, so I don't think that there is any change, and so that's needed there. So it does sort of feel like a change to the actual Galakrond card itself is where the changes to to that deck would need to be made. Changing the claw, changing the rushers, those would be what would make that deck, because it's still good. I mean, you look at it, people have found ways now that you're including Zentimo, that actually, and the Spirit of the Frog, those additions now have made that deck is now... Took a little bit of time to rework it, but it's now probably not as good as it was, but it's still, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, it's still really powerful. It's still a very playable deck.
Yeah.
Let's skip Priest, because what are you invoking as a priest? Why are you playing Galakrond? Stop it. Like, I don't feel like...
Honestly, Priest needs a buff. Like, it's so pathetically bad.
I saw
somebody suggest maybe discovering a minion as opposed to just getting the random minion. I would actually like to see that as far as Priest, if you're going to change and somehow improve the Priest Galakrond.
At least you get a shot at something. You don't get a random whatever. So, I mean, that's better. Discover is obviously better than add. So,
I mean, like, okay. Without going too far deep into it, I think the Priest one is fundamentally flawed.
Yes, 100%. Because
literally the other four of them does something to the board.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it, even the Warrior one, like you can use that +3 attack to attack a minion on the board. You know, you do that a lot. and then everything else, like, except for Rogue, which gives you a lackey, but that's a one-mana minion you can use to impact the board pretty effectively. You know, that's kind of what lackeys are for. Priest is just so far out in left field. Like, it's, you know, drawing a coloring book while everybody else is playing baseball or something, you know. Analogy is just so far off, but it's like it's literally doing its own goddamn thing where everyone else is like, yeah, let's play for board, and Priest is like, look at all of my value,
look at my Pog collection.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
And it's like it got Plague of Death, the last expansion. Do we really, is destroying four minions really a powerful battle cry in Priest?
It has Mass Hysteria, Breath of the Infinite, Penance, Shadow Word Pain, Shadow Word Death, Forbidden Words, and the Plague of, like, it has so much goddamn removal. The last thing you want is more goddamn removal.
Yeah, but what if I told you you could destroy four minions?
Oh boy.
I would really like to see a Priest archetype that actually did something other than just tons and tons of removal, or this stick a minion and then Divine Spirit Inner Fire to kill you.
Resurrect, like, get that out of my life as well.
Something with a more minion focused sort of archetype that was actually good. I mean, I think once upon a time there may have been like a dragon priest that was probably pretty decent.
Yeah,
you know, but it's always felt like it was just all kinds of removal and just kind of attrition, and it doesn't most of the time. And this is, I guess, maybe where I'm coming from as far as my play style and that, but how many people really want to play attrition as a win condition for extended periods of time? I mean, you do it when you can, you do it when you have to and whatnot, but it feels like that's been its thing for too long.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I feel like it needs more options, because I feel like I like attrition. There was nothing more satisfying to me in Hearthstone than winning a control mashup that goes way past fatigue, because that is, like, to me, demonstrates knowledge. It's a skill test. It's a knowledge test. It's patience. There's just a whole bunch of stuff. So, like, I like the attrition style. I actually had a game last week where it was me. I was playing Resurrect Priest against another Resurrect Priest, and it came down to fatigue, and I won because I partitioned my resources better than he did. So, like, I like that kind of thing. But it's, like, I feel like the Divine Spirit, the combo priest, just feels really cheap. And it's just like, did you stick a minion? Here, let me drop a bunch of buffs on him, and you're dead. Like, I draw a bunch of cards, and you're dead.
I feel like the reason we haven't seen a minion-focused priest in a while is because of Divine Spirit and Inner Fire. Because if there ended up being, like, a way that priest could consistently keep minions on the board, then they would just be able to with a two-card win condition, just blow you out.
Well,
and maybe I'm completely wrong there, but... Let
me say one thing. So they could essentially, if they really wanted to, they could send Inner Fire to the Hall of Fame, topsy-turvy rotates out this next set. That archetype could be dead tomorrow, essentially. What I'm talking about the next year, once we get past the Year of the Dragon.
Sure.
So, anyways. Okay, let's move on from that, because we got a little bit off track there. I don't feel like any of the warrior cards, the warrior invokes, really need any changing. The chopper and the, was it Awaken is the other one?
Yeah.
So those are fine. Whatever.
Mana cost, they're okay. The chopper Yeah, I mean, you're taking damage, presumably, to use it if you're using it on a minion. You're obviously not if you're hitting your opponent in the face with it. But, you know, it's not none of those are, like, game-breaking or anything.
Precisely. It's like a 2.5 attack fiery war axe with no modification. Because yeah, you can do like 5,
A swipe where you have to use that 3 damage you just, or that 3 attack that you, for the invoke to actually hit something, you know.
Yep. So that's Warlock, I mean, I'm not complaining about the Warlock invokes. They seem fine. I just wanted to cover it and think of it thoroughly. So that's Shaman, Priest, Warrior, Warlock.
We haven't talked about Rogue yet.
And Rogue.
I was just gonna say Warlock is, I mean, one of them, they're both 3 mana. One of them just basically invokes and gives the 1/1s an extra attack. The other is it gives you a third 1/1, but it puts the extra attack on that 1/1 that you're playing as opposed to giving it to the other demons. So it's like it's like the house of cards. It's very presumably fairly easy for you to address those things pretty quickly if you have minions on the board or have any sort of AoE sort of thing.
Exactly. It's not exactly backbreaking, but I mean, filling up the board with minions and buffing them is that'll do. So then Rogue, we have Invoke or Praise Galakrond, and then Seal Fate. Seal Fate. It's fine. I mean, it's got a restriction on it where it has to be undamaged, so it's probably going at a minion. And then Invoke Galakrond or Praise Galakrond. I think it's fine. It's okay. It does something that Rogue likes anyways. It's a 1-cost cheap spell. So the invoke
requires you to have something on the something has to be on the board, whether you on your side or your opponent's side, in order to actually use it. So there, not that you're playing around Praise Galakrond or anything, but it's.
I mean, I've seen people put it on my minions and then like backstab or eviscerate them. Very reminiscent of when Cold Blood cost 1, and people would do that to activate a combo. So it doesn't seem like the invokes are really the problem. They're fine in what they do. Nothing stands out as really busted in that. It's Galakrond. So the other things that were mentioned were Pirate Warrior and Death Rattle Rogue. I think we all know that Death Rattle Rogue is going to be Necrium. Something's going to be changed to that. Probably cost 5. That card becomes a little less palatable at 5 because it's a combo card. So, I feel like that's probably where they'll go with it. And I think that's really the only thing they're going to possibly change with that. That's that single card is what makes that deck.
Yeah, it's kind of almost backbreaking when they can coin it out on 3 and actually have it pull something, whether it be a Whelp or the Anubiseth.
Yeah.
And so as far as light change, I would have to think that that's going to be a mana change. And I mean, people were asking about it during the Shaman changes a few weeks ago. So,
the next question. I wouldn't absolutely be surprised if they increased the cost of Necrium Blade as well, too. Because that's also a 3-cost weapon that you can essentially put out on 3, swing, and then combo out Necrium Apothecary on turn 4, 0-cost spell, combo it out, bam, you get the invoke, you get that right away before they have a chance to answer. So, and I don't know. I don't have anything to go on with that. That's just, that's a feel bad moment when you can't, you don't even have a chance to answer it. It just goes off.
Yeah, I think that checks two boxes as far as like what they look for with things that need to be changed. One is the like win rates and playing, how much it's being played in that. And I think Necrium Apothecary is being played in a vast majority of the rogue decks right now. And,
yeah.
There are definitely some that aren't, but I think that a lot of them are. And then it's the feels bad when you play against it and have it do what it's meant to do, which is, you know, pulling out this death rattle and buff it, you know, potentially buffing something or giving you an overstatted minion or something. So
yeah,
there's no other card necessarily in Death Rattle Rogue that makes sense or has that level. And if you look at the win rate on that particular card in that deck, it's through the roof. So
yeah. And then we have Pirate Warrior. My only guess is Ankar. And it doesn't even feel that bad, especially considering looking at the past week in the top 15. We mentioned that earlier. Pirate Warrior is not in the top winningest decks. There's Hunters on page one, right? It was they were the only ones that weren't in Galakrond decks on the front page. So,
I mean, Ankar seems like the most high-profile card in there, and yeah, seems like a logical choice to address. But I'm not entirely sure that it needs it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what you'd. I mean, I don't feel like Pirate Warrior is a real big problem just because it's an aggressive deck. But if you don't draw Ankar, you're gonna run out of resources real quick.
I think that's more of just keeping everything in line. You know, if you're going to deal with all the other Galakrond decks, then Pirate Warrior is going to be, like, probably near the top. So just touch to that. In the bud. Yeah. I think making it a 2/2 weapon would be sufficient.
I could see that. Yeah, that'd be much more reasonable.
Because it's really devastating when you get it re-equipped with a Horde Pillager and it's drawing you like 6 to 9 cards.
Yeah.
Like that's a bit obnoxious.
Otherwise known as the dream when you're playing the deck. But
yes. I agree. It makes sense to get out ahead of these two decks too. Just because if we're going to make Galakrond changes, it's probably a good idea to hit the what would essentially be the runners up. And I mean, I feel like Death Rattle Rogue is not a runner up at this point in time. It's a solid contender, and it's running Galakrond, shockingly enough. So and I think we've covered pretty much everything Ixar talked about in the tweet and what potentially changes could come and just Galakrond as a whole.
So I would say two more things that I would think about. And one is Rez Priest. I feel like that has a really big feels bad to play against.
Okay.
And I'm not quite in. So if you're talking about light changes to other archetypes that might need to be addressed, I think that might be one that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what you would look at there. I think Convincing Infiltrator is maybe something. The 5-mana 2/6 that destroys a minion when it dies, because that thing just on its own can be a nightmare to deal with, especially if they can psycho pomp it in the following turn and those sorts of things. And then Face Hunter. I think that you could, if you're talking about looking at other archetypes, I think you could look at Face Hunter and say, does it need to be is it going to be a scourge because of the changes that we're making to Galakrond?
So you're looking at the top decks that aren't Galakrond decks,
right? Right, okay. And seeing what they look like. And so would maybe toxic reinforcements only gives you 2 leper gnomes instead of 3, or maybe you look at the mana cost of the phase, the phase chaser, whatever the
the 2/3 that
that pulls a secret
and
from your deck and plays it. So though those would be the other things. I don't know that any of them will actually get hit. They weren't specifically mentioned, obviously, but I think if you're looking at it from the whole standpoint of this is what's going to happen when we make the changes to Galakrond, what should we make sure doesn't get out of control on us? Those would be a couple other decks that I would look at as well.
And then the only other thing I can think of is Dragon Queen. Dragon Queen and Zephyrus. If we're talking Highlander, look at those two as well, because there's a problem with those two cards.
Just like the Rogue Galakrond Battlecry, I think you could make those cards cost something as opposed to costing 0 as well. Those free dragons.
Maybe they cost 5 less. I mean, that's a very deep discount. And they would still, some of them would be free still, because you'd get free, but you couldn't drop a free Deathwing or a free Ysera on the same turn. You don't get 3 minions for the cost of 1, and the quality could be very, very strong. So
maybe don't let it be able to get itself. Don't get another Dragon Queen off of the Dragon Queen.
That's fair. That could be just something they do on the back end.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's move on to this week's poll questions. So, Mage.
So we talked at great length about another balance change that is coming, and so we got to thinking, how frequently do you think Team 5 should be adjusting cards during an expansion? Because I was talking earlier about the fact that we could see 4 different metas in the first 2 months based on balance changes, a new expansion, and addition of more new cards. So how often is enough? Is it once per expansion like we've seen before? Maybe twice an expansion? I've heard some people say monthly, so every month you'd see balance changes or some sort of card adjustments. Or is there some other frequency that you'd like to see? So that's the poll question for this week. Let us know how often you think cards should be adjusted, and we will talk about the responses on next week's show.
Awesome. So that'll do it for this week. You can find the show on your podcaster of choice. Leave us a review on iTunes, if you will. I checked the reviews before we started tonight. We got one from Forrest Bates. So thank you, Forrest. We'll read it next week. I didn't have it pulled up at the moment, so we'll make sure we read and shout you out next week. Nikolaj is shaking his head in disappointment.
Shame.
Shame. I am shame. Shame, shame, shame.
I had somebody come to the stream last night that said that they had listened to Doctor 3 and really enjoyed the podcast. So
awesome!
Hat tip to them for listening.
Great, that's what we love to hear. Love to hear people come and say. Also, shout out to Volkai. He was just putting a list. Someone asked about some Hearthstone podcast to listen on Twitter. And he put together and mentioned Doctor 3 on there on new shows. So yes. Very, very cool. We appreciate that. Also, my final shout out is to Ridiculous Hat for pointing out that it's Dairy Queen. It's Dairy Queen Alexstrasza. It's DQ. He started referring to it. I was spectating a match, and he's like, "Yeah, DQ," and I was like, "Oh my god!" So just remember, anytime you see Alexstrasza, it's Dairy Queen.
The man that likes burgers and things like and food in general, I think,
yes.
Comes up with a shorthand like DQ for Dragon Queen. I like it.
I do too. You can find us on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can join our Discord, which is a top twin tweet. Go ahead and join us. Nikolaius and Mage are there. So am I. So come hang out and chit chat with us. And you can find me personally at Daring Alkaline. Nikolaius?
You can find me at Nikolaius123.
And Mage.
On Twitter at Mage of Death, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Mage of Death as well.
Awesome, guys. Well, another week in the books, and we look forward to talking about the upcoming balance changes again next week. Wow, what a world. And as always, you've been listening to Dr. 3.
Boom.
Boom. Wait, I should change that. Boom.